From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Easy to transition from high risk to having to increasing your TIS levels.
I think the transition requires its own set of like powerful.
Oh, what like, would that be?
Like it's like you're good at one or you're good at the other, or third thing, you're good at both.
Okay, but that has to start with, that has to end with two Z's. So what would that word be to describe that?
Thrizz.
Thrizz, but
cause
what?
Because you got three. You got three things.
You're okay, thrizz isn't bad. But it'd be nice if it had like a root word like charisma or autism.
Yeah.
Because you're like dynamic, right? That's like kind of the feature there. You're malleable. That needs an S in it. You are.
Piz.
Succulent.
The pisser.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We've been live for the last minute while they talked. How are you doing this weekend?
Okay.
Keon.
Sorry, yeah. How am I doing? Nice weekend? Is that what you said? Is my name changed to Nice Weekend?
How are you doing this weekend, Keon?
Oh, am I doing this week? I'm doing great.
I said, how are you doing this weekend?
Oh, well, the weekend hasn't started yet.
It officially started. It's Friday.
Oh, is that how weekend?
You can't ask him that until the end. What are you doing?
I'm changing it up.
Oh gosh!
This is the beginning. It's day one.
Oh wait a second. Wait, did you not? Are you used to me doing a normal routine every week?
Who, me?
Keon. I'm asking Keon.
What's Keon used to?
I do. Are you used to a structure?
I'm used to you asking me one question at the beginning.
No, we're not doing that this week. No, I'm asking you how's your weekend going? It started today's Friday.
This is great.
Do you want me to go back to a structure that we had?
Wait, what's this? I thought this was a podcast. This must be the anti-podcast. Is that what I've joined?
Well, Carl likes to attack people on the pod, so it seems like that's what he's doing.
Oh, I'm not attacking. You don't have a slay segment in a while. It's me.
No, I'm trying to change it up this week. Because last week you were like, we started the beginning of the podcast, and you didn't want to go along with the normal routine. You're like, oh, I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do a normal podcast. So this is Carr not doing the normal podcast.
It's definitely not what I said, but that's not what happened. But congrats.
So this is me not doing the normal podcast. At the beginning.
On slaying yourself.
There is no slay. This is what happens when we don't have a normal beginning.
Mm. Well, I'm enjoying, I could sit here all day just not having a normal beginning. Maybe that's the version of me that you met last week who said they don't like a normal beginning. Maybe that's who I am today.
Just giving you a taste of your own medicine, Coob. How was your week?
Tastes pretty good.
How was your week?
It was pretty good. I had a pretty good week. I did vinyasas, which I'm proud of myself. It's been so long.
Vinyasas.
Good job, Coob.
Like yoga things where you move and breathe in sync with that's like what they call it, but so you can get, you know, like I go to these classes where you do that for like an hour. But
you've been bicycling. I've been seeing you've been bicycling.
I bicycled to yoga. I did leave with my bike from the office and now I store it. Yeah,
nice.
Elsewhere, but yeah, that's great. Everything else is good. That is my conclusion for the week's activities. How about
Plepoet? How was your week?
Oh, how's my week? My week was awesome. I was playing some sand volleyball this week.
Whoa!
And I haven't done that in a long time. It was really fun.
Oh, wait. Where? Yeah, where? Like on Lamar? Is that the only place I can
go? No, there's like sand? A small park on the east side that I went to. Nice. And I'm going to go again tomorrow.
Amazing.
I played volleyball in school and so found out it's kind of like riding a bike. You still can bump set spike. No problem.
Cool.
Dang.
That's amazing. Awesome.
Did you like not continue because you're not tall enough? To compete with,
I didn't continue because I was really scared and intimidated of being hit in the face.
How many
did you ever get hit in the face?
Yeah.
Ooh.
How many?
Not cool.
points do you go up to? Do you go up to points or do you?
Yeah, we just did 21.
Oh, 21. Okay.
We had a pretty good set of teams. I think it was like 4 or 5, 5 on 5.
Oh, nice.
Was it 5?
Maybe yeah. Satoshi was a volleyball player.
Why do you say that?
Got 21 points, 21 coins.
Well, it's like when you play ping pong, you pay 21.
Oh, maybe he played ping pong.
He probably played ping pong. That sounds more like it.
Yeah, especially if he's low res.
That sounds good. If you've never seen this crazy show before, it's called Stacker News Live. Typically, we have a normal introduction, but this week we didn't. Next week we will, I promise. If you've never seen this crazy show, head over to YouTube. We have a Stacker News Live channel. Wumble's been uploading all these older clips. A lot of he's calling them SNL throwback clips, and people have been liking them. I've been watching a couple of them. He had like the Federal Reserve one where they sued Bitcoin Magazine, and they had one with Odell when he was challenging Elon Musk back in the day. And we talked about it. Some really good clips from the old episodes, and then yeah, so check it out. Really cool stuff. And hit subscribe if you really enjoy it. Enjoy the channel. We're going to jump into the top five stories that are the top five stories of the week here on Stacker.News, or front page of Bitcoin. The number five top story is Wasabi Wallet version 2.7.0 was released. Privacy wallet for Bitcoin only. This was from Crew, 13 comments. He boosted 200K sats, rained on the stackers this week. 3,466 sats. Keon. So that 200K go to all the rewards? Is that where that went?
No, actually, 70% of it went to me, the owner really? Of the Bitcoin territory. So you get a dang. Boost in money or territories. That's a territory founder. You get the...
So we only got... So only 30K of that went to...
60K.
60K of that went to...
Rewards. Yeah. Gosh, the rest of it. Yeah.
So, but it should make a Bitcoin 2 territory.
Well, that's the bad news is I spend way more than 140,000.
Somebody forked the Bitcoin territory to make a Bitcoin 2 territory.
Yeah. Anyway, this is, I guess, Wasabi Wallet had a new release. And I, you know, it's, they say it's like relatively minor and they're just stabilizing things. I guess they didn't have any big, you know, wow features. But some of these features sound pretty cool. Like I guess they allow you to connect to Bitcoin nodes that are running or RPC, Bitcoin nodes RPC interface over Tor now. I guess they didn't do that before, or maybe it was harder to do or something. The other thing they did was they made it easier to switch between different test networks. I was expecting to be able to see the post.
Oh, sorry. Let me go back.
It's all good.
I was going to the GitHub because that's usually where all the
details are at. Go for it. I should have had it up on my own screen. They did a bunch of UI stuff. I guess if you're running a Wasabi coordinator, you now have an onion service when it starts. So you don't need to do any Tor setup yourself, which is a bonus for coordinators. I don't. As far as I know, there's only a few coordinators right now. But maybe there are private coordinators that I'm just not aware of.
Didn't Wasabi Wallet close down though? I thought they closed down the project.
I think they stopped running their.
I mean, this is me. I don't know anything. By the way, this is just Carr talking out of his butt. So, weren't they like? Didn't they properly raise and all that kind of stuff?
I don't know if they raised money. I don't know anything like that. I do know that they ran a coordinator in the past because a coordinator is a great way to make money, but it comes with certain like legal liabilities, legal risks. And so they ran their own coordinator and they had a website where they would, you know, kind of publish a blog and these release notes and stuff. I think they're still working on the software. I don't know if the team itself is, but I think they have maintainers on it and stuff, or this is a fork of the original Wasabi, and this is like another website. But I believe around the time that Samurai got indicted, they like took down the website, took down their coordinator is my memory, but someone might want to look that up. But now it seems like Crew, who runs probably the most popular Wasabi coordinator, is, you know, promoting these releases and stuff. That's usually where I learn about them.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
There you go. Check it out. All the notes are in the GitHub where you link to. And yeah, it looks like it's a busy project. It's like 340 issues. Looks like a lot of it's being resolved, some of them.
Yeah, great way to get your coin joints.
It looks like a lot of it's being commented on, a lot of pull requests, stuff's getting fixed. Yeah, there you go. The next top story is, let me go here. Show SN Buoy, compare Bitcoin-only wallets, exchanges, and tools. This is from Jasper Vandery, Bitcoin Territory, 24 comments, 10K boost, 3,130 sats. Keon, another boost, 10K boost. Man, people are paying to get into the top five these days.
You can't boost yourself in the top five.
Well, so he seems to be working on...
He got there by zaps, so... But maybe the visibility helped him get more zaps. So
it's helping him get on Stacker News Live.
That's part of it. Anyway, yeah, it looks like they created a cool kind of like Bitcoin product registry type thing where you can browse wallets or nodes or a variety of Bitcoin products and compare them against each other. So they have a few categories that that people, if they're watching, they can see. But if you're not watching, they list like exchanges, including peer-to-peer exchanges and decentralized ones like BISC without KYC. Ways to spend Bitcoin, like either wallets or services, storage options, and like node in a box type services and software, and then also products for merchants. It's not a complete list, but the tooling is pretty good. It actually does a great job of kind of presenting everything in a way I find not super overwhelming. Yeah, but it's a cool site. I think sites like this are really useful. People usually abandon them, which is always such a bummer. So you get someone who kind of gets 80% of the way there, and then they kind of lose their juice. But
when I pull it up, it's definitely a light mode, and I don't know how to make it dark mode like
setting. It's probably sensitive to the system preferences of your operating system.
Is it this button down here?
Okay.
Oh no, it's not.
But these can be great businesses. Like if you run a very successful kind of registry like this, I don't know what you call it, like a catalog like this, you can get people to advertise. Like if I have maybe I'm in this buy Bitcoin category and I want to be at the front left of it. You know what I mean? Like I want to be all the way there and I can maybe pay a couple thousand sats or something to move up. So,
ooh, have you tried that compare function?
Yeah.
Compare function. Where do you see that?
So go back down to where the little they are, and then if you choose two and click inside that little circle up at the top.
Oh, okay. So let's go with Aqua.
So you'll have to like do right on that circle.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So Aqua, Ambrose.
And compare. Now you have the compare button.
Oh, that's cool.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's really neat. Oh, wow.
That's just good info.
Yeah, I didn't even see that circle without in dark mode. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah, but these are always fun. So I guess that got in the...
It's cool. It has the founders. It's like choose your founder.
I definitely know what you're saying though. Like people, like I'm a bunch of these like type of sites like spin up all the time.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen one in a long time, and I definitely haven't seen one that looks as nice as this does.
Yeah, this gives me confidence in maybe Bitcoin isn't like people haven't lost complete interest in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Which is what it kind of feels like.
Yep.
Sometimes.
True. Buoy looks good.
Really cool stuff. Yeah, it would be interesting to see more more stuff added.
It's probably somewhat of a manual process.
Oh, totally. Like you can tell this takes a lot of time, but it would be cool. I like the compare feature. That's really cool. But imagine him doing like multiple ones and multiple segments of the ecosystem could be very valuable. It could be a sort of like a, well, maybe not entirely like a Glassnode, but it could be a similar type of service that could evolve into something like that. Interesting. Let's jump into the next top story. The next top story is Peter Todd has been busy spreading lies on Stacker News. This is Bitcoin Territory, August 31st from Omaha. 69 comments, 7,218 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so this is Uma HQ, I believe. So oh. I'd probably say it. It's closely related to Omaha, probably a second, third cousin, as far as words go. There was, Peter Todd last week, I think we covered it. He wrote about, I think Luke made a statement about what data carrier size for the option or the configuration option when you're running Bitcoin Core meant. And he said that Luke made a mistake when stating what it was for. And Uma HQ believes that Peter Todd was incorrect about his correction of Luke. And so that's what this post is about. They do. Peter Todd pointed out to a certain, I think, Bitcoin Core version 0.9, the release notes to that, which kind of supported his case and what he thought data carrier size was intended for. And Uma HQ points to more history, I guess, supporting their claims that Peter Todd is, they say, lying, but maybe missing other history. You know, this debate has turned pretty political. So it's really, most Bitcoiners, I think, would agree that they don't want data, arbitrary data on chain, and that Bitcoin is for money. But they all disagree about what is a reasonable solution to the problem or like how best to solve it. And so we just end up mostly bickering and kind of, talking about things like this, like what happened in the past. Do you know exactly what happened in the past? Do you know exactly what they were saying then and what they meant by what they were saying? If not, I'd score a point and my side advances and your side advances less, and we're gonna keep going until
I guess my bigger question is, Keon,
yeah,
why didn't you know last week that he was spreading lies?
I don't think he is spreading lies.
Because we brought it up last week and we were talking about it, because it was in the top five. Was it in the top five last week?
Yeah,
it was in the top five last week.
Okay, and you didn't bring up any of that.
I don't think that's what I'm saying. It's like,
it's not his opinion.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, you're supposed to be our guy that like verifies all this stuff beforehand.
Wait, this was a different post that was in the top post last week.
No, but I'm saying, like, for the show, Keon's the guy that verifies this stuff.
So he was supposed to call out Peter Todd for
being no. Liar? I'm just saying, like, he was supposed to check the like fact check everything.
In what are you talking? What I fact did. Are you talking about?
Hang on, let Keon.
No, I think that's a great question. What fact are you talking about that I should have checked that I didn't check?
I don't know. Read the thing and see if, I don't know, see if the developer stuff makes sense.
Because the Peter Todd is spreading lies is an opinion rather than fact.
No, but I'm saying last week's, like, here, let's go back to last week's.
All right, let's go.
Oh, no, let's not do it. Let's just,
okay. Well, all I'm saying from my, like, side, because if somebody's watching this, they're going to be like, well, why didn't Keon say anything last week about the... Because if I'm watching this from a viewer perspective...
And you know nothing about Bitcoin.
And I know nothing about Bitcoin. I'm like, well, Carr and Keon reported this last week, and they said everything was fine.
We didn't report it as a lie, because I don't think it's a lie. I think...
Okay, that's all I'm asking you is, like, why didn't you report it as a lie, Keon?
I don't think it's a lie.
If now that we're showing that it is a lie.
I mean, Peter Todd's post...
That's all I was saying, Jenna.
I don't actually know what Luke has said, because I'm not following all the political nonsense that is kind of surrounding this stuff, but I do know what Peter Todd said, and the release notes are valid, and that's actually what was there. I guess, you know, did I don't know. I wasn't familiar with more of the context here. From what I can tell, it it really doesn't do much to demonstrate that Peter Todd had anything factually inaccurate. That's my interpretation. Perhaps there's a gray area here. He did not describe the change to the data carrier size documentation that had everyone up in arms a few months ago. And that's, you know, some UMA HQ spent some time in here doing that. I don't think that has anything to do with a specific thing that Peter Todd is talking about. What else did he describe? He described, there were some other instances where data carriers and data carrier size were discussed in other documentation that suggested it had more generic use than just an op return. Whether that means that it was intended that way, you know, we can't peer into the mind of a person, let alone a person 10 years ago. So, from what I can tell, this is gone way overboard. I don't think Peter Todd has any reason to lie. I don't think Luke has any reason to lie. And even Peter Todd had the courtesy of just saying Luke was wrong and not lying.
So next week we might have another top five story that says Keon's lying. They're all lying.
UMHQ is lying about Peter Todd's lies. They're all lying about Luke being wrong.
I'm kidding, but I mean, why do you think developers care about these details from like a pleb perspective? For the snaggers that are listening at home, like, why do developers care about these little small details more?
So I don't know if
like help me understand that as a pleb.
I don't know if UMA HQ is a developer, so if that's okay. What we're saying.
But like, tell me, like, help me understand, like, why do developers care about these little small details? Why is it important?
Why do developers care about small details?
Like this, like, why do they care about calling out these little small details?
I don't think it's developers specifically. So you mean, why do people care about?
No, because there's obviously an important thing around this. Like, there's like, because like, it looks like from last week, there's an important reason why Peter Todd brought this up. And then if you go back to here, Omaha brought this back up, saying that, no, this is wrong. So like, they're going back and forth on these specific details. Like, why is it so important?
I think you sarcastically demonstrated it earlier when you were saying they just want points on their side, points for their team.
This is like no different than the kind of thing that happens around a political debate, like the kind of thing that happens around a political campaign. It's like, you're asking me, why does Donald Trump care about the emails, Hillary Clinton's emails? Why are politicians so obsessed about emails?
So you're saying it's more like, a political debate.
Yeah.
And a one-upsmanship.
Yeah, we've moved beyond like productive conversation about this. And now it's like, what do the history books say? Do you know the full history? Do you have it 100% accurate? If you don't, it shows that you aren't worthy of making a decision about this issue.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this was a productive conversation. This is kind of like the, I feel like this was a good productive conversation. Helps me understand better. I'm sure some stacker out there appreciates it.
Well, I think UMAHQ, they dedicated part of their post to suggesting that Peter Todd has been more pro data on chain than, even people who are in favor of the op return changes we're seeing in core are. Uh-oh. And that is maybe, you know,
So this is all going back to the core versus nots thing is what you're saying.
Oh yeah. This is all directly related to.
So are they both on opposite sides of that?
Yeah. So UMAHQ is on the not, what I would guess, and I'm pretty sure
that part was obvious.
Yeah, it was on.
Oh, I didn't know that part. This is what we were.
Peter Todd, I would say, is on the core.
Okay, well then now we know.
We'll talk a little bit more about this in Wumbo's pick.
Okay, cool. The number two top story is shutting down my routing node. This is from 0314, 58 comments, 10,000K boost, 2812 sats. Keon, another boost.
Yeah, got another one. This one in the lightning territory. So that money didn't go to me. None of it went to me.
Who's got the lightning territory?
Dang. Yeah, so 0314F6BAB2. They had been running a node since 2019. They had one Bitcoin of liquidity, which is a lot, but they had forwarded twice as much as that for the 6 years that it was running. But I guess they didn't reap enough reward from that. They said they're losing money. They're paying significantly more in miner fees. That is like getting transactions mined either open or closed channels, or possibly even do swaps. I didn't really hint at that. And they said they most recently, like the precipitating event, was they got an HTLC worth 3 million sats stuck on chain, and they're not sure if they're going to be able to get it. They're also kind of unhappy with the development on Lightning because there are a lot of kind of proposed protocol upgrades that we're not seeing in the routing node implementation that he is using, LND. And so he's kind of, I don't know. He's kind
That's
of
crazy that that he's dissatisfied with the Lightning project, or Lightning, I should say, Lightning the company.
Yeah, with dissatisfied with LND, but also with his performance as a router. Mm-hmm. And I guess he went to BTC Prague, and I get in 2023, and there was a Lightning panel where the developers there were suggesting that routing nodes are only for professionals. I don't know.
Gosh.
I don't know the full context. Maybe they meant, you know, people who want to do it seriously, and not like people who want it as a full-time job, but people who want to make it a real hobby of theirs. I would say that is probably.
I feel like people like that should come to Plub Lab. There's like a lot of Lightning maximalists in here.
What would change for them, you think?
I think they would be around other Lightning maximalists, and they would see.
They would just get their opinion by osmosis.
They would be okay with like losing a couple million.
No, I'm just saying they would hear an alternative view, maybe.
Oh, well, I think that was just one of the points he cited. It was the last point, to be fair. So I think some of these other issues are probably bigger contributors.
Because I imagine if you just keep hearing the same view over and over and over and over and over again, eventually it's just going to stick.
I'm not even sure. It sounds like he pointed out one particular view he heard, so I'm not sure he heard it from multiple sources or over and over again.
It's one of four things that he listed. So I'm sure there's a lot of reasons, but he made sure to point that out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. So he's shutting it down, and RIP node, routing node. This dude's routing node, but he should still run a node. Still run a Lightning node for himself for making payments. That's what a lot of stackers chimed in with, and a lot, some other people chimed in about helping him get his HTLC unstuck.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of people chimed in.
And hopefully...
Any good ones in here, Keon?
Something Darth Coin said, I would be curious. Okay, go down a little bit. You just passed it.
Yep.
He was like, run private nodes at the very, very bottom.
Okay.
Public nodes are for profit.
Oh, there you go.
And I don't know how like Darth Coin that is.
Whoa.
Oh, that's quite Darth Coin.
Is that like an extreme...
No. Oh, you mean, is that? Oh, I see. No, that is if you're going to run a node for personal use, you might as well run it with private channels. Private nodes means private channels. Like you're not telling people that you basically have a Lightning node there.
Yeah.
But you can make a payment from it. Your peers know that you exist, but no one else on the network knows. So you make payments from it and you can receive payments to it.
Right.
But only,
so you're just using Lightning as like the infrastructure for payments that it is.
You're using it for strictly personal use. The public node would be more so you want to participate in the public sphere, the public network.
You want to earn yield? Is that the thing?
Yeah.
Is that
you
what
could earn yield from running a public node? But some people just, I think their default for a lot of channels when you open them are public. So a lot of people aren't even
happening. It kind of struck me as like, wait, I hadn't really like thought of it as like a dichotomy like that, like private versus public node. I'm not a node runner, so I don't know any of it. But
well, you run an app that uses a Cash App's node.
I love Cash App. Cash App is a public node, or has.
Yeah. Okay. I think they pay TFTC for spots like that. So maybe we should stop advertising.
That's fine. Cash App. Well, I just love Cash App. That's all. I'll just say that all day long.
I'm messing around.
So it looks like, a lot of good comments in here. If you guys want to check it out, there's a lot of different versions. But I mean, I think Stacker News is like going to have a ton of Lightning Maximalists on here. So you're going to hear from a lot of people with a lot of different sides. And I think everybody runs all the different flavors. So if you have any Lightning questions, Stacker News is probably the place to come and ask your Lightning questions. You'll definitely get a lot of sats and a lot of your questions answered, and how to start up a node, how to run a node, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. I'm wondering why they're only reconsidering LDK when Core Lightning has all the features that they want, the dual funding, the liquidity ads, and Bolt 12 now. But maybe they don't like Blockstream or something, or projects associated with them. But that is a Lightning implementation that exists today that you can run that has, as far as I know, most parity with most of LND's features. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's just so many good options out there. Cool. The final top story of the week, the number one top story, is I got scammed out of 1.4 BTC. This is from Lightning Struck, Lightning Territory, 45 comments, 1,600, 400,000 sats. Keon, what is this?
Wow.
1,600, 400. Sorry.
Wait, is that not how I say it?
Oh, 16,400. I think you made a misstated it.
Well, then go right ahead.
Yeah.
Clean it up
in post. So Lightning Struck, they were running a node too, and I think they were saying they were running it profitably, like they were doing pretty good, or maybe it was their old node. But anyway, the most recent node that they were running, they were making money by facilitating a lot of swaps and selling liquidity on Amboss. I guess what happened was they ran into a bug when they were trying to do something on Amboss, and so they went into the Amboss Telegram group and reached out about help. Shortly after they did that, they got a DM from someone on Telegram named Jesse, who sent them a message claiming that they were Amboss's Jesse and were there to help. And then the other admins from the Telegram chat started DMing them and telling them that Jesse would help them. So they listened to the Jesse that was DMing them and eventually ended up putting their seed phrase to their backing their LND node into a website online that the Jesse they were chatting to told them to put it into. Over the course of a few days, their LND wallet got drained of their their LND hot wallet. The LND, the on-chain funds, I think they had sitting, waiting to be deployed, perhaps, got taken by these Telegram scammers. So the Jesse they were talking to in DMs was not actually Jesse Jestifer, one of the co-founders of Amboss. It was a scammer posing as Jesse. And then the other people that were DMing them, Anthony, AP would be Anthony, who's another founder of Telegram, was like probably from the same scammer running another account. And they said throughout the entire process, they were getting, kind of yellow, lots of yellow, orange flags. And quite a few of them were red flags, but they maybe weren't, for some reason, their alarm bells weren't going off. They just kind of kept proceeding and kind of, thinking they were talking to the real Jesse. They kind of really bought into it. But they, in total, they ended up losing 1.4 Bitcoin. But they quickly realized once they saw that their wallet was empty, that this was happening. And they very cautiously closed all the channels to the node, shut it down, and moved the funds as fast as possible before the scammers could move them to a wallet in their control. What else did he say in here? I think he said that in the past he had had a node that he had also lost Bitcoin on, not for a scam, but just because he had a hardware failure and didn't know enough to like recover it. But he said that since he shut down this node, he's gone back and recovered that old node. And in recovering that old node, he discovered some Bitcoin that was locked up on that node.
Gosh, man, what a lie. I said the silver lining to it all is in doing research around LND and recovery, I thought of the old node that I had. Yeah. That sucks. What did everybody say? What's the top comment from Mega Dreamer? Mega Dreamer says, sorry for your loss. I hope there was a lifelong learning from this incident.
Nothing good ever happens on Telegram.
That's why I don't use it. That's why I'm not on it.
I'm kind of afraid to open it. I haven't opened it in a long time.
Yeah.
I get a lot of DMs from people saying hi, hello.
Well, yeah. I remember when I first started using Telegram in 2020, 2021. And then once somebody impersonated me in 21, remember Keon? You don't remember that? Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, in 21, 22, somebody was impersonating me. And then once that happened to me, and then once I saw how it really affected my life, I never used it again. I was like, never going to use Telegram. And since then, I never used it. That's why I'm like a big proponent of not using Telegram. I would not get back on it.
Yeah, we
because it's not worth the... It's not worth it. It's just not. And so whenever I see like, I mean, no, I'm not throwing any shade at anybody or any company or anything that uses Telegram. But whenever I see that, that's just a yellow flag for me every time. I'm just like, why would you use Telegram for your company's thing? Why not use something else? It's just, there's other ways. Like there's a service support chat thing that you can buy. I think Zaprite uses service support for their thing. Like you can, there's so many other ways of going about this.
I think there are trade-offs here, and that's why a lot of these people use Telegram for customer support. And it's like, what makes it easy for scammers, but also what makes it easy for genuine customers to use it is, it's a very easy to use chat app that doesn't have many requirements for signing up. And a lot of people are already on it, has a network effect.
Yeah, but if you're running a service to your customers though, and this is me. This is not me throwing shade or anybody who uses this. This is not. I'm just telling you from like a business perspective, because I used to work in like support for a website company, and so we ran a support chat thing, and so I remember we would have to go through the chat. We would get spammers in there too, but we were controlling the other side of that. So that's all I would say is like if you're taking your support seriously, you would use a normal chat app.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that's good advice. I think, you know, having something a little more dedicated for.
I mean, all those fintech companies use them.
You know. Yeah. That's, yeah. Maybe it's time to step up Bitcoin and time to step up.
Yeah. It's time to step game. Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sad to see 1.4 BTC.
It's yeah. Go to a scammer.
Yeah.
For a social engineering attack.
Yeah.
It was good of this person to share the story. It's good.
Yeah, for sure.
Good for people to
for sure.
Be reminded, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always the good ones that get scammed.
Right.
Yeah. But then they can communicate the scam at least.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all the top stories here on Stacker News Live. What else we got? I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
The top five, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's all the stories. Check out last week's episode. It's there. We also have the most popular video last week.
The next one was Prove You're Not AI. That was a funny one that we talked about. So check that out. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We're officially on Fountain now, so we're deploying our, maybe this is more inside podcasting stuff, but we're deploying our podcast on Fountain. And so we're testing out some of the new like podcasting features. We can release episodes early. So I think I'm going to do that this week. I think I'm going to release this episode early. If you want to try it, you can zap it to get it early. If you don't, if you want to wait till Monday, then you can wait till Monday. But some cool stuff Oscar's building behind the scenes that you can play with. So If for any Fountainheads out there that want to check it out, you can. And then
Fountainheads.
Is that not a thing? I thought that's what they're.
Oh no, it's a book. There's a book called Fountainhead.
Oh
yeah,
it's a good book.
I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said that. I guess I thought that's what it's called. With all that, we're gonna jump.
They should call them. They should call their users Fountainheads.
Definitely should.
Yeah,
it fits. Really fits Bitcoin ethos. That book.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's Ayn Rand.
I thought that's what they were called, Fountainheads.
I think you just came up with that.
I think it's yours.
Really nice.
You should, yeah, sell that to Oscar.
Yeah, sell
free
that.
Subscription.
Sell it back.
Well, I'm happy to support Oscar. So anyway, Stacker News Live is officially on Fountain's like podcasting distribution thing. We're excited. We're excited to check it
out. Imagine the merch. You could have like a like a hat that has a fountain on top and it's just like got pouring
water. I mean, dude, it's a really cool thing. I'm excited. I'm excited to use it. But yeah, if you want this pot early, definitely check it out. We're going to jump into the AI Bitcoin stuff. So this week, Optimism released this on the 1st. He had all the, I guess it's the front page of AI Bitcoin. Is that what we're calling it now, I guess?
AI Bitcoin. What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, he gathers all the AI news and gives it a Bitcoin lens on it. And it does. Pretty fascinating. And so
it was, I looked at this post.
It's a lot. He's talking about they're taking our jobs, or are they? And then he quotes this Kazon post, and he really gets into it. There was a couple of them I wanted to share. I did grab one of them I thought was fascinating. The Will Smith concert crowds. I don't know if you saw this, Keon.
I did see it.
But apparently they're like, there was these real, because like, you know, I don't know if you heard about Will Smith, but Will Smith got kind of banned from Hollywood because of the slap that was heard across the world. he slapped Chris Rock. And then won an Oscar. Anyways, long story short, he then, you know, got banned from Hollywood, and now he's having to go back to music, and so now he's doing concerts and stuff to make a living. But they're saying that he was using like AI.
Some Will shade.
He's having to use AI to like show some of these thing that they're not actually real crowds out there. Do you see the AI stuff?
Yeah, you can see where they're. Weird inconsistencies with it,
but they're saying that he's actually really is there. Like there actually really are crowds there. He's not like faking his attendance. Like, people really do like Will Smith music, and there are people there. But he's just like optimizing the what do you call it, the
density?
Yeah.
What is the music?
Like Big Willie style. That was a big album back in the 90s.
I think it's like hip hop.
Okay.
Like kind of poppy.
Yeah, it's like poppy.
Poppy hip hop.
Getting jiggy with it.
Right.
Jiggy with it.
And it's like PG friendly too.
It's super PG.
Is like another aspect of his music.
He was super popular in the 90s. You remember that?
It was peaking then. It did well.
Anyways, so you can see here. So they're saying that he's automatically getting like it's just upscaling basically. It's not actually, he's not making these fake crowds. So anyway, I thought that was fascinating. People are trying to destroy Will Smith, but he's saying.
So the presentation of the concert online is to make it look more attended than it was? Or like
no, it was just, they were saying that he was doing that, but this website's like, no, he wasn't doing that. He's actually just upscaling his photos. For IG.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the upscaling sucks.
Okay.
I mean, you saw what it did to, remember the podcast with Jim where it made him look old?
Yeah.
It's
kind
of like one of those. Shout out, Jim.
Shout out.
And then the other one I wanted to share was this one. This was another one from the AI territory, was the Taco Bell. So Taco Bell had a drive-thru. Did you see this one, Keon?
No.
I saw it.
BBC's been posting some really funny stuff lately. They're really anti-AI, I've noticed. Taco Bell rethinks AI drive-thru after a man orders 18,000 waters. Did you see this? So this was funny. Basically, the guy went in there and ordered 18,000 waters. And then
did the AI deliver it to him?
The AI got stuck, basically, and they obviously couldn't do it.
Did he pay for them?
No. But what I'm saying is, like, it shows, like, where the tech is just not ready yet. So that's why they only have the in-person. You have to actually go inside and like order through these AI stuff, but you can't actually go through. They're not ready for the drive-thru yet.
Okay. Do they need to be ready for the drive-thru ever?
I don't know.
I don't. Do you think the person in the drive-thru cares? Isn't that like already, isn't that sort of like an AI? Isn't this just like another step down the slope of like the most convenient way to do something?
So you're saying the guy that takes your order at Taco Bell drive-thru is like an NPC?
No, the guy who goes through the drive-thru doesn't give a crap about whether it's an AI or not.
Well, he gives a crap about getting the food that he ordered.
But if it, he wants it cheap and fast. And so if this makes it cheaper and faster, that's probably better than a human doing it, right?
No.
Okay. Mm. I feel like you're just disagreeing with me to disagree.
So I thought it was funny because there was like some good comments here. This guy was like, give me 18,000 waters, 18,000 soft tacos, 18,000 cheese gorditas.
I love that
117.
Guy. That guy's Netflix show.
Goes, sir, this is Wendy. Anyway, the Staggers had a good time with this one. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I forget the name of that guy, that comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy?
What is his name? Yeah.
I don't know. I can't see him. It's too low quality.
He did a movie recently with
Rudd. Free TX said this. He goes, it's going to be supervised AI. Kind of like the guy who sits with you in the robo-taxi. It's kind of like that.
I haven't taken a robo-taxi yet. Have you?
Have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, no, I don't have a Tesla. You need to have a Tesla to take a robo-taxi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to have like a...
What's the point of having... What do you need, if I have to buy a Tesla to get a self-driven car?
I mean, that's not a question for me. That's a question for Elon.
Okay, well, I'll ask him next time we have our weekly calls.
I mean, he's an investor in Stacker News, right? So it should be easy enough.
Yeah, he invested in my birth. Pregnant.
That's all the AI Bitcoin this week. Thanks to Optimism for doing a great job.
He's got a lot of kids.
He's your dad?
Yeah, I mean, I call him daddy. It's similar, right?
He's a South African daddy. The next one is a new segment we're calling Wumpo's Picks.
Wow. Oh, no.
That's how I'm doing the segment. Wumpo's Picks.
Oh, wow. You've been practicing that. I can tell.
That's the segment. It's Op Return Saga explained in 2 minutes. Go.
Oh, well, it's not me that does it in 2 minutes.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it.
Because the account is called 2 Minute Bitcoin, and they publish on a blog, 2MinuteBitcoin.org, these short explainers about things that are either features of Bitcoin or things that are...
Wumpo's Picks!
And during the segment, I get interrupted repeatedly by the...
Wumpo's Picks!
The title of the segment, and that's what really makes it, differentiates it from all of our other segments.
Oh, wow. This is great. Look what he picked, though. 2 Minute Bitcoin. Okay, go for it. Yeah, I'm going
to
shut up.
Yeah, this is a great website. If you want to learn something quick about Bitcoin, this is a great place to go for it. But this week's specific topic is about Op Return, and this relates to a lot of the Knots and Core drama right now. The majority of the drama revolves around Op Return limits and Core relaxing relay policy around Op Return limits. So 2 Minute Bitcoin goes in and describes it here. Basically what we have in Bitcoin Core right now, the version of the Bitcoin Core implementation, Bitcoin protocol implementation that most people run called Bitcoin Core. Right now its defaults say that you can only have one Op Return per transaction, one Op Return out per transaction, and it can only have data in it of 80 bytes in length. That is the default. You can reconfigure your node to make that smaller or larger, or turn it off entirely. But most people leave the defaults. And so, So and to describe more of what the problem is and why people have an issue with this changing, or I'm getting distracted because it's kind of loud in here, but
Wumpo's Picks.
Well, there you go. That's actually when that's needed. I need like headphones that
Wumpo's Picks
have a mute on them.
I just keep doing that.
I've got breaking news. If just totally.
Wait, no, we can't do it during Wumpo's Picks.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
All right. Wow. Wumpo's really in for a real picker this week.
Go for it, Cam. Power through.
Okay. Well, there.
You said max size 100 bytes. Go.
No, max size currently, the default max size right now is 80 bytes. Okay. Proposed changes in Core will take Op Return size up to 100,000 bytes. That'll be the the maximum size allowed in relay policy, not in consensus. Consensus already allows arbitrary op return sizes and an arbitrary number of op returns per transaction. This is simply relay policy, but you know, basically before transactions get in a block, what will you send to other Bitcoin nodes that will then eventually make it to miners? That's all that these policy changes relate to. So the in Bitcoin Core version 30, these defaults will change and they will be deprecated, making them in some future release unable to be configured. And so that is, and so the this is the position of Core that most people know now. And Knott's position is that we should do more of this type of data filtering, that we should never expand the op return limit, and that we should do more data filtering in general. This post gets into it a little better than I'm going to be able to describe, but I think there are, I think it's of interest to everyone because there are good reasons to actually remove these limits, and there are bad reasons to remove these limits, or things that are could potentially go wrong by removing the limits. Specifically, I think this is just FUD, the CP scare. I think it's primarily FUD. I think anytime it comes up, it's kind of like calling someone a racist or Hitler. It's kind of an attempt to escalate the argument beyond like reasonable discourse. Because currently this can happen on Bitcoin as is. It doesn't, relay policy does not affect whether this is possible to get into blocks or not. So this relay policy does not affect whether consensus will allow large op returns or not. It's just whether how easily it can get to a miner is most of what it affects. So I think there's some mischaracterization going on as it relates to these. And I'm sorry, Wumbo, I think you wanted us to go even more fundamental than this and talk about what a mempool is, what standardness rules are. But hopefully you can give us some feedback on how we did this week, and I can amend my approach going forward.
Yeah, because it can get pretty dark really, really fast. I kind of want to stay away from that, but just to, there's other people out there that really want to get into that debate. I just, you know, I'm founder focused and like focused on startups. The dev game is, how do I say this politely? It's gangster, bro. It's a gangster game. And, I'm not, getting involved with that game. I love working with founders and I love working with, startups and stuff. And that's where Car is. What happened?
Oh, is that what the breaking news is?
No, my breaking news is about Justin Bieber once again.
What happened with Swag Justin 2. Bieber? Oh, there you go.
Really dropped another album.
He dropped another album.
Wow, you should have interrupted us. We should all stop this podcast right now and listen to that album together.
That was Wumble's picks. The next one we're going to do, let's do Keon's first, because apparently Keon... No, let's keep going with the stable. Yeah, let's do mine. Let's do mine first.
Okay.
I think this one is interesting. So Nick Carter released a podcast. He released another post this week. It was called Situating Stablecoins in the Payment Landscape. Scoresby did a really good job of kind of going through it, and he kind of gave his thoughts on it. I want to share the post directly here because I think it's worth sharing here. Directly. So he pretty much gives a really good introduction, and he starts off by surprisingly going straight to Patrick Collison's tweet, which is this one over here. So Patrick Collison has a tweet that says stablecoins are room temperature superconductors for financial services. Thanks to stablecoins, businesses around the world will benefit from significant speed, coverage, and cost improvements in the coming years. Stripe is going to build the world's best stablecoin infrastructure. And to that end, we are delighted to welcome stablecoin to Stripe. So if you don't know, there was a post on Stacker News this week about Stripe launching its L1 blockchain Tempo. What that is basically blockchain designed for payments, which is an L1 It's kind of weird why they
their
did
a blockchain.
Yeah, it's kind of weird why they did that. To me, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think it was interesting because Nick like literally lays this out in the opening paragraph of his like whole essay here, and he basically says Patrick Collison is wrong. They're not room temperature superconductors for finance. He said room temperature superconductors are theoretical. People don't have great intuitions about them. Stable coins exist and work great today. They are more akin to Starlink for finance. So he's basically saying that what Patrick is saying is like theoretical. It sounds very like really, really cool and esoteric, but in reality, stable coins already exist today. It's like Starlink. All you need is a phone and everybody can swap and use stable coins right now, just like you can use with Starlink. And so he goes into talking about, and he goes really deep into the whole stablecoin thing, like, and it kind of makes sense. So people that don't know who Nick Carter is, he has a fund.
He's been around.
Yeah, he has a fund called Castle Island Ventures. I think he has a couple stablecoin projects. He has a couple stablecoin projects. I think one of them is called Stable.
We know that.
I think there's one of them called Stable. Yeah, Stable is called right here, Stablecoin. So, I mean, he's talking his own book for the stackers at home listening. But he goes into explaining what stablecoins are. He goes into USD banking. He really goes really deep into explaining, like, the representation of what fiat currency is. He talks about the stablecoin, how it's a bearer asset. It's like cash, like when you can actually have it in your wallet. He goes even further in explaining that. He does talk about how it's like a push payment. It's not like a pull payment compared to like ACH. He goes into the OFAC stuff, how it can be blocked. He does a pretty good job of explaining everything. I think the most interesting thing is here. Let me see if I can find it. Because it does make sense here. Yeah, it's this one right here. Yeah, right here. Today there are ways. So I'll just read this. Today there are ways to build an efficient and safe financial application based on stablecoins, such that the developer has no control over user funds at any point in the flow. This is the real magic of stablecoins from a founder's perspective. This reduces the fixed cost of building a neobank or a fintech style network from possibly hundreds of millions if you're getting a bank charter, or tens of millions if you're getting money transmitter licenses, or simply the engineering costs. Possibly under $1 million, as you might imagine. This order of magnitude reduction in fixed costs is causing an explosion of products in the space. So he's basically saying, like, this kind of stable coin everywhere, this kind of the way he's explaining it, saying it's like the Starlink of payments, is saying that this is going to cause a massive explosion of like technological growth for these different apps. They're going to be able to integrate that. The funny thing about all this whole article is he does bring up Bitcoin multiple times and he talks about it. And he does talk about the like interoperability and the programmability of stablecoins. And he talks about this future right here about how it's going to be able to work with like smart contracts and all this kind of stuff. But the only thing I think that he really doesn't really hit home on, and I think he kind of, only thing I would slightly push back on, and it's not me like really criticizing or anything, I think the only thing he doesn't really push back on is just how this is going to like lead to this kind of, like, I think once AI gets involved with kind of stable coins and we have all these wallets, like, I think it's just going to, I don't think it's going to freeze funds. But I do think it's going to automatically block people from spending those funds, if that makes any sense. And I think it still gives Bitcoin the upper hand, and it still gives Bitcoin companies who are building their Bitcoin wallets an upper hand. But I do think stable coins, from basically what he says, definitely gives them the advantage right now and into the next 5-7 years for sure. Cause it does seem like there's this kind of stable coin rollout that's happening, and it is inevitable. And he even talks about how the old kind of system that was in place, the SWIFT system and the Fed now, and like how that's you know, that's going away and this new kind of stablecoin system is happening and it's basically here. And there's no kind of turning back from it. And that's kind of the gist. And he even goes into like the visual payments history of everything. The guy knows a lot about payments. And it kind of makes sense because his dad works for the IMF. Kind of makes sense.
One question I have going back to what Stripe just announced.
Yeah.
Does is that to compete with Tether, you think? Or does Tether have like a competitor?
No, I don't think they're actually issuing stable coins. They might eventually. That might be why they acquired the infrastructure. But it's more so competition for something like Solana or Ethereum.
Right. Okay.
I guess it's like a place where stablecoin smart contracts can live and experience the regulatory cover of proof of stake and claim that there is no, that money transmission is not happening. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of money transferring through this system that they created. And so at least reduces their legal overhead.
Right.
And so it's mostly a regulatory arbitrage project, I would guess, for them.
And Tether still has like no kind of competitors.
Well, so there's the Circle USD. There's a ton of USDs out there, and like he talks about it in the thing. I think what's interesting that he brings up that I never even thought about, but like I think the smart contract aspect to it is interesting, because then the developers can start doing interesting stuff with smart contracts, and they can tie that with stable coins, and then you could theoretically. I mean, all this is going to be surveilled, and like you can just assume there's going to be an OFAC list and compliance, and it's going to be tied to all this stuff. So just assume the worst when it comes to surveillance and data, like on-chain analysis and stuff. So just assume all the worst. But once you get past that, you can kind of see a thing where there could be like all sorts of interesting smart contract stuff attached to these stable coins on an app that would allow people to do really degenerate stuff.
Yeah.
But also really interesting stuff.
In a sophisticated sort of way.
Sure, because then you could probably get to a point to where somebody could get a mortgage or I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Somebody could probably get a mortgage or something by also looping in their community or something. Say like, hey, Jana's trying to get buy a house. Do you want to contribute to allowing her to do that by opting in your Bitcoin or something? It's a 30-year whatever loan, and you pays back dividend. Do you know what I mean? There's that sort of like smart contracting that could happen.
Yeah, I do really want a house.
No, but I'm saying like this is where he's this is what he's basically talking about is like these stable coins and the smart contract aspect allows you to create these kind of apps.
Shitcoin. Yeah.
Yes, but this is kind of what he's saying is like, this opens up that sort of paradigm shift. And this is where it's like an interesting, from a VC perspective, which he is, he's explaining that's the interesting aspect to it all.
Yeah.
But from a, like a, from a Bitcoinist perspective, like myself, like there's a, it doesn't actually make a Bitcoiner flinch at all, because we still hold the higher ground of self-sovereignty, and we have first rights to I mean, we actually have the Bitcoin in our hands,
the property.
So it's a really good piece. I thought it was really good. People are gonna be like, oh, why are you talking about this? But
no, I mean, I haven't, like,
I think it's fascinating to read.
I haven't paid attention to like anything Nick Carter said for a while, but he does explain things really well, and I did appreciate,
he gets a lot of things
him in my early days.
I think Scoresby, like I would go back here because Sporzy corrects him on a lot of the stuff. He corrects someone. All those things.
Scoresby is like the better Nick Carter.
No, he just corrects them, all the little things. Anyway,
it does seem to be a hot area right now. I think it is
from stable coins.
I think the Genius Act stuff, the federal government stuff, the Trump administration kind of unleashed a stable coin bubble. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think the only, the nice lining, what do they call that? The silver lining. The silver lining to this for Bitcoiners, I think, is that this might get people a little more comfortable with bearer assets, like digital bearer assets. And so if stablecoins do benefit from all of this investment and they do get a lot of usage and people get used to storing money on their phone with a private key, it's not as hard to get them to leap to Bitcoin. And so that is, that's like of the silver linings, there's that. I'm not sure. I don't really believe in there being a whole lot of things you can do with the financial engineering and smart contracts that are going to be much better than you can get at a traditional bank. Maybe if you're unbanked, it has some appeal, but I just don't, I just think this is mostly an attempt of rich people who don't currently run banks to become the new bank runners. Like
that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. I think it's mostly like banks are good business. It's hard to do a bank. It's hard to, you know, banks have network effects. How do I compete with banks? Well, I'll support this new technology that's very bank-like and
has a regulatory
advantage.
Interesting that you bring that up. He does bring up the, he does talk about the old way of doing things. And let me see if I can find it. Where is it at?
I just don't know. Like, I think the main thing for me is like, I don't know what benefit I could expect from this. I get that someone running a stable coin, this kind of stable coin banking system thing, I can understand their margins improve. But for me as a client, I guess some of these stable coins offer better yields, but yields like on a dollar, like real yield is probably negative still because I'm holding dollars. So I'm not.
So yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. So he does bring up the fact that like these nested hierarchies, like and how banks don't process payments directly. So basically what he's saying is like these transactions that we use aren't routed in a straight line. Like they all get routed to New York, and then there's just like this exchange that happens, even if you're like coming from somewhere else entirely in a different world. So so kind of to your point, like why do they do that? I'm sure there's a reason why they did that, and there's probably a reason why they did that, and he goes through all of that why they do that. But yeah, like you're saying, it's probably not easy to run a bank, and so there's probably reasons for all these things, and yeah, we're gonna find out.
Yeah, I don't know if the problem with banks is that we don't have enough of them. I don't know if that, or like we don't have enough VC funded banks.
Yeah, he does say here, like the US wields a great deal of soft power of controlling financial flows. But I don't know, we'll see.
This is the ICO of this cycle, by the way. No, you know, like, that's my read. This is the non-Bitcoin hype of this cycle that is likely going to collapse or have some big reckoning is the stablecoin scene. That is my read. Unless I just don't know what else.
How it felt at the Bitcoin conference.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's still too early to tell. I guess we'll see, but I don't know.
I don't know how they take a dive really, but I don't know. It feels a lot like it. At one point, everyone was like, "When will the ICO bubble pop? This is crazy. It just keeps going on. Maybe they do have utility. Wow, they keep getting money. Maybe these things are really useful. Maybe I should have had an ISO. Why didn't I have an ISO or an ICO?
Yeah.
And or an ice cream cone, but."
I mean, all those companies that were in ICO in 2018, now they're legitimate companies, and they got rid of their ICO. So that's another other. Not, I mean, me and Ben were looking one up earlier, and he was asking me about a company, and then I was like, something doesn't feel right. I mean, the more we started digging, we found out they had an ICO in 2018, and they gave all their tokens away to make those corporate partnerships. And they don't even mention the ICO.
Yeah, I think for big companies that are doing this kind of stuff, they're not going to take a big hit from it. It's just It's like,
but to go back to your point is like, I'm saying sometimes in the long run, it doesn't matter.
Not for a big company, but I think for a young startup that's banking on stable coins, I don't know, but maybe this is, you know, maybe this is a new banking paradigm we're in. I mean, we are like, the future does seem to be getting shittier financially. So maybe this is just the next rung on the ladder up to shit heaven.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought it was worth bringing up because it's an interesting. It was an interesting article. Anyways, the next one we're gonna read is let's talk about this one. So yet another person driven mad by AI, this time leading to a murder. I don't know if you saw this. This was a Wall Street Journal post. Troll man, his chatbot, and a murder suicide. And oh man, I have it blocked. Gosh. Anyways.
You're not a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal?
No, anyway. Super Stacker had this one. He goes, I don't remember seeing this in previous articles on the topic. But he's basically saying there was this guy who went off of the deep end. And it was based off the memory setting inside of ChatGPT. And basically, ChatGPT told him to awesome people. Keon, what do you think? Is it ChatGPT's fault? Is it his own delusions?
I don't know. It's kind of, you know, it's like ChatGPT doesn't kill people. People kill people type of thing. I think, you know, I think I think I made a point in another thread. This is like maybe the 10th story we've had on this that's got quite a bit of discussion going. But my main view on this is that there are some people who are very close to the border on the border between sanity and insanity. And I think ChatGPT can easily take them across the border.
Yeah.
That's kind
of, if you're like looking for for confirmation of a delusion, you're very suggestible.
Yeah. Yeah. You will.
It's like a vulnerable kind of place.
Optimism says something good.
I wonder what it is exactly that might lead someone.
He said, if I brainwash someone to murder someone else, am I in violation of any law?
If you what? If you brainwash someone to murder someone else, am I in violation of any law?
There you go. What about that, Keon?
That's what you call a cult leader, right?
But the cult leaders don't necessarily like tell people to execute people. I mean,
yeah, they tell them to execute themselves.
I guess, I guess FreeTX said that'd be accessory to a crime, I think.
Yeah, I guess you could prove that they brainwashed them. But that'd probably be really hard to prove.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, I think in that sense, I would say like every movie or every like piece of entertainment is kind of doing that.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of my point. Like if you're in a position where you're looking for confirmation of a delusion, you can find that anywhere.
Yeah.
But maybe not in a place that's like super interactive and has a human like.
I also think too,
like there's, you couldn't find a human maybe that can provide that for you, but you can, the next best thing you. So I don't think reading a book would make you like the odds of reading a book causes you to kill someone is probably quite a bit lower than.
But I'm saying if you're looking for that,
yeah,
you can find it anywhere.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I agree with your point. I think the point I'm making that is not necessarily inconsistent with that point is that I think this is like a more powerful version of the thing you find.
Yeah. Should there be parental guardians on for these chat apps?
For parents, for people who are adults?
No, for chat apps, should there be like a parental guardian thing?
But I think this person was an adult.
No, but I'm saying like, should kids have like a parental?
Probably already do.
Oh, they do?
Okay. Yeah, I would guess so. None of us have kids, so we can't even really say. I mean, I know what Nick stores on his note. That might have something to do with what topic you're talking about, but.
Whoa.
That took a turn.
Yeah, bro.
The next one is your other post that you had,
TizRiz Founder Matrix.
Yeah, what's this, Keon?
Yeah. So this was, I actually shared this more than a week ago, but I keep referencing it, so I thought I just think it's a great way to categorize founders or people who are building things or just people, I guess, in general.
Who are these people?
These are a bunch of founders of tech companies, basically.
Oh, I see. Oh, there's Woz.
There's Woz. And so, yeah, so you have Woz is in this so you basically have two axes. One is from low to high autism, which we call TIS, and the other axis is from low to high charisma, which we call RIS. And so at the very high autism, you have Tizzards like Wozniak.
Who's the one next to him?
That's Ilya from one of the co-founders of OpenAI. So he's a Tizzard. And then so you have at medium level Tiz, you have just
who are they? Autism. Who are they? Do you know?
I actually don't know that dude. I think they're also both AI people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think she's a researcher at Stanford. Don't actually recall, but but if you're low TIS and
by
also,
my course if
also low RIS, okay. You're in a really bad position because you're like, you know, you're kind of you don't have
acquired. What does that mean?
Your startup company.
Oh yeah, you like list on your LinkedIn that you were acquired. You're constantly boasting about things that don't really amount to anything. Wow. Like it's kind of you're basically a scammer, but like an ineffective one. Gotcha. It's kind of low.
And then if you're on the high RIS, which is charisma.
If you're high RIS, you're like Elizabeth Holmes or Chamath or the WeWork guy.
Is Chamath high charisma?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that might be wrong. Maybe he's not high charisma, but.
Work at like Google or no, he worked at
Facebook.
Right? Chamath is the only person that I knew besides like.
Didn't he really contribute to Facebook though?
Based on his own account, yes, he was significant in their like growth efforts.
But does that make him a grifter though?
I think it's based on his current behavior that people are categorizing.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's current behavior. Okay.
Yeah.
What is that jail sign there?
It's Forbes 30 under 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the medium one is Tiz Whisperer. What's that?
Yeah. So if you're medium Tiz, but a high RIS, you're a Tiz Whisperer, meaning you can communicate with high Tiz people and medium Tiz people very well. And
it's like almost the best.
Yeah. It's actually a really good place to be in because like you don't have to be full Tiz, but you get full Tiz power because you're communicating.
So Steve Jobs is
right. You're communicating with full Tiz. Yeah. Because Steve Jobs. Who's only medium Tiz but high RIS, he can communicate with Wozniak on a level that someone who is low Tiz or low RIS could not.
Sam Altman's there too.
Yeah, Sam Altman.
Oh, that's interesting.
Also a Tiz Whisperer. He has a little Tiz, but not enough to count him out. Wait, here.
So you have Elon at the very top?
I don't have, this isn't my graph, but according to whoever made this, they believe.
I feel like you made this.
I've said multiple times that I haven't made it. The
From X. Okay. It wasn't you. Okay.
Yeah. They're,
I was getting skeptical.
High RIS, high Tiz. You have people, you have like the biggest billionaires on earth.
Wait, wasn't Zuck? Was Zuck was autistic though?
Yeah. Zuck does not belong there.
Zuck
is definitely high RIS. I would guess he is.
No, because people hate him.
Do people hate Zuck?
He's so hateable.
Yeah, I would
feel like you just hate him.
But he might have high RIS in a way that is hard to detect when you're not in his inner circle. That is like the only.
What do you mean? Say that slower.
Because he somehow has accumulated a lot of great people who have worked for him over the years.
Yeah.
And
just because he pays more, dude.
I'm not sure that's exactly it. And so there's possibly more to the story. I'm not sure RIS means. You know, what we're thinking of, which is like Rico Suave.
Charisma.
Yeah. But charisma isn't really only one thing. It's like a highly effective in social situations. And maybe for someone who's high Tiz and high RIS, it's like very scoped to a certain type.
And then the other guy on the far right is the NVIDIA guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like an Elon Musk belongs there.
Yeah, I don't think Elon is high charisma though.
I think he belongs there, but I'm like,
he feels
like
more
comparing Musk to Zuck. I don't know if
they have different kinds of RIS. And I bet Musk RIS shows up on X or his tweets or whatever and his, you know, his sense of humor. And I would guess Zuck shows up probably in his like negotiations.
What's main character? What's that? Okay. I'm so confused.
You're medium Tiz, medium RIS.
What's main
character? So you have enough Tiz to kind of be effective. You have enough RIS to kind of make to make progress on your effectiveness. And, you know, you maybe have a...
That's hilarious. What's the yamper?
You view yourself as important. The yamper is, someone who mostly talks. They're kind of, build anything because they don't have enough tiz to really make anything.
Gosh.
Yeah, this is cool. You know, the more we talked about it, the more I see it's...
Yeah,
it could
there's your comment, Zuckus, in the wrong nice spot. Framework for discussing. No one commented, but Jen.
Yeah, I just commented that. Like,
where do you? So we have to know where today. You guys are.
I'm not even on this thing.
You're not?
No, I don't consider myself part of these people.
You don't have tiz or riz?
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
Oh, zero. Okay.
No, you're
zero,
definitely,
zero.
You no, I'm like, I'm just car.
Your
car.
Whole like community, like.
No, I'm not on this. I'm like riz. Low, far, bottom, low. I'm like right here where the no amount listed. That's where I'm at. I'm here at the bottom.
Okay. What about you, Jana?
Yeah.
Car doesn't want to play the game.
No, I just don't think I have either. I'm not autistic.
No difference to me.
And I have no charisma.
I think I might be like main character.
Okay. Yeah, I buy that.
Thanks.
Mead. Yeah.
Main character,
I think you might be like autist.
I might be a full tizzer.
No, I don't think you're. I don't think you're main character. Can I place you?
Okay, sure. Yeah.
I think you're more. I actually think you're more tizzered.
Me?
Or wait. No. Okay, I'm looking from the wrong side.
I don't think I'm autistic.
On. I think you're more cracked.
Yeah,
no.
What would cracked be?
Which is the one that controls tism?
You want to be a tiz whisperer.
So I'd be low if I don't have, I'm low. So
yeah, I would say you're cracked because, no, wait, which is the one that controls high? When you control, Chris, when you grow I'm confused.
Okay, you're saying she's.
I'm saying she controls autism.
Okay, she's good with dealing, she's a tiz whisperer.
She's a tiz whisperer.
Okay, so she's high riz, medium tiz.
You know what?
She's main character. Actually, she is main character.
I could be between main character and
she's between main character and Tiz Whisperer.
Yeah.
That's where she's at.
Yeah, she did marry someone who's
probably right here between. She's between the
But also she's pretty, between pretty high the, in Riz.
She's also pretty high in Riz.
Yeah, you guys might both be main characters.
She's definitely make between main character and Tiz Whisperer.
Austin's got more Riz than I've got for sure. But he's also got true. More tips.
Wait, are we rating Austin now too?
Sort of.
Yeah. Should he come out here and rate himself?
No, we're just, if she's a Tiz Whisperer, she might have whispered.
I think she's between Tiz Whisperer and main character.
Yeah.
I've seen you with the devs. You can definitely whisper.
All right. Thank you.
Cool. Right, go for it. Go. Keon, where are you at?
I think I'm probably.
He's like, I'm God.
I'm probably like. No, I'm probably like high.
Stay humble, Keon.
I'm probably high tiz.
People are. This is being recorded.
I'm probably medium to high tiz.
Medium to high tiz.
And I'm probably on average. I would say low riz.
No, I would throw you high tiz. And I would. Okay, so your cariz is very low.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a tizzer, dude.
Chris doesn't best, understand.
Okay.
He's. He's between. No. So.
I agree. Nick says we should move on. And I agree.
No, this is great stuff. This is good. This is going to bring in the views. So you're like, you're between tizzard and crack, Keon.
Okay, yeah, I buy it.
Because the more people get to know you, they realize, oh, he's actually really, kind of like Waz, actually. The more people get to know you,
well,
like,
then that's just tizzard.
Oh, you're right then.
Yeah.
I think you've got some riz, Keon.
Yeah, he's like, what?
Riz require, if I need, I can apply my tiz to riz.
Actually, you know
what? But I have to be full-time. I have to be full-time riz. Yeah. Otherwise, I cannot do any riz.
Actually, he's exactly like Waz.
You know Waz?
Oh, I'm exactly. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, he's exactly like Waz.
Yeah, you know him?
No, but I'm saying he's the exact same personality type as Waz. Like, really, really, really smart. But unless you got to know him, you wouldn't know that.
Oh. You wouldn't know.
I mean, really, really, really smart and really, 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 really funny. But unless you got to know him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's also not going to come out of his office either.
He's like a butterfly, and he's like still in his cocoon a little bit.
Yeah.
But sometimes he'll like show you his butterfly wings.
Interesting. I'm glad we had this conversation.
Okay. I think this is a cool way to think about people. And
where's Topher?
I'm excited to have you guys on board with an understanding.
Topher's probably cracked a little bit, honestly.
Topher, I could see that.
I can see Topher being cracked.
I think he's definitely in med riz.
He's med riz.
I don't know if he's high tiz, but that might just be his riz.
No, he's definitely high tiz.
Okay, then he's cracked.
He might be definitely cracked. He might be cracked.
What about Jim?
Jim? Oh, wait.
Jim is probably medium riz too.
He could be pretty high.
He could be cracked.
I don't think he's high tiz though.
Yeah, he's
More main character.
I think he's pretty high tiz. That's what I mean. I think he's got done.
Oh wait, you're kind of right. Yeah,
he's more main character.
I've spent a lot of time with Jim. He's very high tiz, bro.
Maybe he just doesn't show.
He might be more tizzy than the tizziest.
Yeah,
you
think so?
Yeah, might be right.
What about Nick? Where do you think Nick's at?
Nick is definitely, I would say he's medium tiz.
He's medium tiz.
I would say he's medium tiz. Yeah. But riz, probably pretty low.
Yeah, low riz as well.
Yeah, he's pretty high riz.
I would say.
Oh, yapper. He's absolutely a yapper.
Oh, but that requires no tiz. And he's definitely
his main character. He's main character. This is sad. We're like doing all the people we know. Oh man, we can't.
I think it's pretty fun.
It's really fun, actually. We should print this out and like put it in Blublab.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we should do the print people in here, and we can move people around.
<That's fun. laughs> I'll make magnets.
Yeah,
oh, that'd be great. Oh man, this is hilarious.
You could sell these.
This is great. Somebody should do this for Bitcoin.
Okay, I'll map it.
Somebody should just redo this, but for Bitcoin.
Make a fridge magnet. Which one are you?
This is somebody. Should just make this version of this for Bitcoin.
We probably need like name cards, but we could do also with Bitcoin celebrities.
Yeah, you should do this with Bitcoin celebrities and influencers. Don't put me on there, put just Keon.
Riz.
All right, cool stuff.
Refuses to play.
That's all the stories we had this week. We're going to jump into Meta. Keon, what's this?
So now before live comments were scoped to a device. So if you read some comments on one device, they would not show up as read on another device.
Really?
I didn't
notice that.
Yeah. Well, if you're using one device, primarily internet with Stacker News, this wasn't a big deal. But for those of us who are switching between our phone and our laptop or whatever.
Even if you're on the same login?
Even on the same login, it wasn't work that way before because we didn't want to spend a lot of time on the unread comment thing.
So you can see two different versions of Stacker News.
Yeah, but now that we have this live comment thing, it becomes a lot more important, more useful. So Socks went ahead and made it
Socks
device sync, and they've been killing it on this this feature. And
I like the live comments; it's really cool. I like also seeing it. I like naturally seeing it up there in the blue.
Yeah,
there. I think it fits perfect because whenever like I'll click on it, and I think it's probably because I already see the notifications up there. So,
yeah, it's in the right spot.
It's in the right spot.
I don't know if I like the circular blue dot. But we can refine that over time. We need to do a UI refresh.
I think it's in the right spot now. So that's cool. Was there anything else in there?
The only other thing was related posts have been broken since I introduced them because I made basically a type error on them. And everyone was complaining about related posts for a long time. And I was like, I don't know what could be wrong. It does everything it should. And then I realized there was a typo in them that was getting the fields mismatched. So now when you look at related posts, you should see posts that are more related than they were before. They shouldn't be all kind of random. So that was another big thing. And a lot of bug fixes happened. Mm. That's it for this Meta.
Cool. That's all the Meta stuff. The next one is Pleb Poet Stacker News.
That looks like it's in Meta.
No, this is separate spot.
All right.
Next one is Pleb Poet's Fresh Stacker News Zine.
We got freshly squeezed.
It's yellow.
Okay, we're gonna look. I'm gonna.
Do you want to swap spaces with Kia, or do you want to just move over, Kia? Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Here it is. And this is really fun.
Closer, yeah, so that everybody can see. Go for it. There you go. Perfect.
Okay. Keon, you can still talk.
Oh.
Maybe.
Not really.
Okay. So I just made a zine this week, but it looks a little different than it has in the past. And that's because we can just do things. And I have included the top posts, and I have included something really fun that I think we're going to do a little bit of right now, if you guys would like. This issue has a crossword puzzle.
Whoa, a crossword puzzle.
That I made. And so I'm going to give you a few of the clues that I made up and see if you can think of the word that I was thinking of. Because I realized that actually is a pretty difficult skill. Yeah, it might be hard mode. So is that okay with you?
Sure, I'm a pretty smart guy.
I too.
Why do you laugh? Why do you laugh?
Okay, and a lot of these words have to do with, I mean, they come from the stories and the zine or just like Stacker News.
Oh, wow. So it's like, yeah, I know this stuff.
So if I said, if it's something served with raw fish.
Sushi. Oh, something served with raw fish.
Served alongside raw fish.
Oh, soy sauce.
And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ginger. 6 letters.
Ginger. Wasabi.
There you go. Boom. It's wasabi. If I said this word strikes.
Match.
And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 letters.
Oh, keystone.
Nope.
Oh. What's that thing that's like flint? No, not flint. Haystack.
Nope.
Stone.
This word strikes. Lightning?
Yeah, lightning.
Oh, boom. There you go.
If I was gonna call you the lowly ungovernable.
Oh, misfit.
In four letters.
Misfit.
Pleb.
It's pleb. Oh, okay, that one wasn't that hard.
We don't want to solve the whole thing, do we, on the box?
No, let's not the whole thing. Let's just one more. Okay. If I wanted you to, no, two more, sorry. If I said the truth is often stranger.
Than fiction.
Yep, that one was easy, okay.
Yep.
And then if I said the state of being free from being observed.
Surveillance. Oh, sovereign or state of being free.
7 letters.
Private?
It's a derivative of that word.
Privacy.
There it is. Privacy. Boom.
There you go.
So that's just a little bit of a snippet of the fun you can have.
This is really cool.
You get your own Stacker News
zine. Show them the zine again. Yeah, it's yellow now.
It's all yellow.
It's really cool.
So that was really fun. And it's just kind of, you know, I felt like my issues were kind of looking a little gay after a little bit. So this is an attempt to rein that in. And so I think it worked out.
The classifieds. Tell us a bit about the classifieds and how they work.
Yeah. So another feature I introduced for the next issue, I'm selling the back page of the zine to you. If you would like to buy a piece of it.
And so how would that work?
Promote whatever you want to promote. You'll have to find the Zaprite link that's here in this post where you'll fill out a form telling me what you want your message to say. It's going to be limited to about 300 characters, which is like,
can it be an image or
70, 80 words. And yeah, if you want to send an image,
cool.
You can email me the image or somebody like sent me the link in the note of the image too. So also I'll say for next issue, there's already been 4 of 8 spots.
Sold. Already?
Already.
And when did you post this?
Just today.
6 hours ago? And how many have been sold?
4.
There's only 4 spots left, Stacker.
So there's only 4 spots left.
Get it.
But yeah, this is just
how many are they selling for right now?
1,000 sats.
Wow.
And it's just like another place, like if you're like using
Agora, I feel like Boog's gonna buy all 4 spots.
Just another place to like advertise or like promote your like what Plunda. You're working on. Or
I know Plunda wants to buy some
or
spots.
Just say something fun. That's what I was hoping to get.
Yeah, say something fun.
I feel like Justin
for brave men.
I feel like Justin Shocknet's gonna buy a spot and talk about Shock Wallet or something.
And that's basically
yeah, you could do so much stuff in this spot.
So much.
Dang,
you're allowed to buy 2 at a time if you'd like, and you get more space that way.
Can you buy a full year's?
No,
not yet.
No, they're too cheap. They're too cheap to do a full year right now. They're introductory priced right now, so it's a promotional offer, one time only. We don't know what
this is turning into a full fledged business. I think
this is an experiment at the moment.
Yeah, it's a pretty good experiment. It's selling more than the zine itself. You already sold 4. The classifieds.
No, I didn't sell more. We're still making more money.
No, but I'm saying the zine is selling for 3,000, but you already sold 4. You're turning into the Rubuck Murdoch of Stacker News.
That's right. Rupert Bitcoin. Ock. Yeah. Bit off.
Turns out Stacker News was a whole thing just to release the zine.
Stacker News was the friends we made along the way.
It really was about the zine the whole time. Dang. Did you tell your investors you're pivoting to the zine?
I once told them I was going to start selling houseplants. I like that. But
literally everything just moves to the zine. That'd be hilarious. Good job, Jenna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's funny.
That goes wild.
That was amazing. Cool. Man, what if that actually does take off and then it just becomes its own full-fledged printing business? And it's
That'd be neat.
That'd be really neat, right? Like,
yeah.
Turns out like that's a whole separate business unit and it makes its own full-fledged cash flow. And
yeah, I don't know.
Or sat flow, I guess. And it's like a full thing.
I don't know of any.
No one else is doing that, right?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any regular publication for another.
I mean, it kind of fits with the times. Forum. I mean, everybody else is kind of going digital. And like the one thing that's not digital would make sense. Cool. Really cool stuff.
Oh, you can also subscribe.
Oh, where at?
Subscribe. Okay. There's a Zaprite link in here for subscribing for the month of September, which means you'll get 4 zines. And they'll be sent to you once a week.
That's cool.
4 zines for the price of?
The price of
a little more than 3.
Yeah. You could save a bit.
Less than 4.
Yeah, you get to save a bit.
4 zines for less than 4. For 10,000 sats.
Whatever happened to the other zine that was doing stuff? Did they just stop doing their zine?
What other zine?
Wasn't there like a zine for like 2 weeks or something?
I don't know. I don't know what zine you're talking about. There are some zines that are like limited to a topic and they only release them when there's like some topic they want to cover and they're more like educational zines.
Wasn't there one that was released and then you guys...
Yeah, I don't have anything to say about it. I don't know what you want me to say.
I remember you like taught you like game on and then like nothing ever happened to them after that.
Oh, the other Snacker News zine.
Yeah, I guess they never...
I don't know.
I guess you won, Jenna. Anyway, that's everything. Get the classifiers. There's like 4 left. Cool. That's all the stuff we got. We didn't have any fountain boosts this week. No YouTube comments. And I think that's everything. Keon. Oh wait, let's jump into the Top Cowboys, baby. Top Cowboys for the week. Everybody's unmasked.
Hello.
Sticky 47. We got Cube, Undisciplined, Blockchain Boo, Gray Ruby.
Howdy, Gray Ruby.
Coins Reporter.
I don't think we've had much change in the top 5 based on my memory, which might be not reliable.
Yeah.
But we have Optimism is, I think, been climbing up, but they've been at the top.
Scoresby. Aardvark there too.
Scoresby super consistent.
Aardvark is the Time Magazine 2006 Time Magazine Person of the Year. I think it's good to mention that. We officially have somebody who's in Time Magazine.
Yeah, I haven't been seeing Aardvark a whole lot around on Stacker News, but glad Scoresby. To see they're still
Socks,
still
Carter,
stacking hats.
Billy the Kid's there. Real Bitcoin doggy.
Thanks. Sox has a nice streak going.
Did the Real Bitcoin Dog win the contest? Did they announce the contest yet?
It's going to be Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Okay.
Not Sunday.
Who won that?
Oh, we don't.
It's going to be announced Sunday.
Okay. I thought Real Bitcoin Dog won.
Voting is still happening today. If you would like to vote in the Fiction Month Fiction Contest.
But didn't Real Bitcoin Dog win, though? I could have sworn he won.
No, he did not, because the winner will be announced Sunday.
It felt like he won, though. I mean, like, did you see his post? It was like, what was that one?
Do not know what you're talking about.
Where was the post that he had?
You sure don't.
What was the post that he talked about? Yeah, the talent showed shake up. Didn't he have this one where he was like, did you guys not read this?
Oh, I certainly saw it.
It was like, and then he implemented like all these really cool Stacker News stuff.
Like bribed people to go comment on it is what he did.
I thought it was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
and it would seem like he won.
He even got to a point where he had like, what'd he say? He was trolling people too, I think.
This will be judged by humans. So, and that the judges
look,
have decided.
I mean, like, it doesn't look like
to announce results on the 7th.
Doesn't look like he used any sort of help whatsoever. I think it was really good. He kept it within the word limit and everything.
Okay, and then, well, I know.
Look, he even had a call out to Gray Ruby, which I thought was hilarious. But I thought it was a really good job by, really good effort by Real Bitcoin Dog. Anyways.
Okay, but we don't know. He might win, but we don't know yet.
I thought he got announced. My bad.
Nope. He might consider himself a winner. I feel like.
Yeah, and he should.
Yeah, and yeah, and there's no harm.
I feel like Real Bitcoin Dog always keeps it light, so I'm just like keeping it light too. He's a good stacker.
He is a good stacker.
Kepford, 29?
Yeah. Oh, more Cowboys? Yeah. We got Kepford, the HN bot, dude. It's out hatting most of you. Get your game in order, please.
Phoenix.
Nunya.
Simple Stacker.
Shocknet. Justin Shocknet. Justin Shocknet keeping it real. You ever see his comments, dude?
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely.
Keeping it real.
He'll definitely bring the heat.
Keeping it real.
In the comment section.
Always keeping it real.
Yep. That's a thing.
Mega Dreamer.
Can vary.
What else we got? I think that's it. Ben the Carmen's back.
Yeah, Ben the Carmen. He
Kenya coin.
Has his hat. Never get Max. Back to his peak. At one point, I think he was like second with the hat.
Debeef. Sato Chip. Yeah, pretty much rounding out. Yeah, it's everybody. Yeah, that's pretty much everybody.
Yeah, boy.
That's all the Cowboys for this week.
Azuti.
That's pretty much everybody. How do I go back to where I was trying to go? Yeah, there we go. That's everybody. Pretty good week. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
I am not sure. I'm going to leave it up to fate. What I'm going to do.
Oh, cool.
I might continue doing yoga through the weekend.
Yeah.
The only thing I was going to bring up was TapConf and Startup Day. So Startup Day, we have, should bring this up because it's important. So October 10th happening 33 days from now. Get your Startup Day tickets. We're going to announce there's a big speaker coming. I can't say who it is, but it's happening. Next week, we're going to make
it. Do they speak Spanish?
Actually, they do. Yeah. How'd you know that? There's a big speaker coming next week. We're going to make the announcement. It's going to be big.
Speak Spanish.
And they speak Spanish.
I know, but I'm trying to play.
Get your tickets now. They're selling out. We even added an option now for people that are in the Yucatan in Mexico. If you want to come, Francisco made them to where they're $99 now. So there you go.
Oh, for the party.
No, for the whole event.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude.
There you go.
That's very
it's very generous. Club of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, get your tickets now while you still can, and make an announcement next week for the big speaker. The other thing I wanted to mention was TapConf 7. Make sure to get your tickets. It's happening here the 13th.
Wow. It's really soon.
Really soon, yeah. They have all the talks, I think, here. Where is it at? Here, let me go project board because we haven't talked about this. I don't think once, but we need to because we're going to be there. TapConf 7 is happening that week. There's going to be a Snacker News takeover. Did you not know this?
I remember this coming up, but I thought it had lost steam.
No, it didn't. It's just happening. There's going to be a Snacker News takeover. Keon's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Stacker Sports, I don't know if they know they're going to be there, but they're going to be there. It's so early, podcast is going to be there. I don't know if they knew they're going to be there. They're going to be there. And we're going to do a Stacker News table of all these live podcasts. We'll do a live SNL. All our friends. Plepot, are you going?
Well, I wasn't planning on it, but now I might go.
Now she's going. And she'll have the zines there. We're also supposed to release the SNL DVD there, so we'll have that. And then
I need to work on that, huh?
Yeah, we're waiting for Wumble to get that, so we'll have all that stuff there. And I think that's already got punched in by Brandon, so we're good for that. And then the other thing, there's all these other things that are going to be there. Get your tickets now. And I think I'm doing another panel on founder stuff. I'd have to look. Keon, are you doing any other stuff? Any other panels?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm doing anything. I like, that's how I like it. I like to go.
Oh, there's a Mario Kart.
And be around.
You like to go and you like to hide.
Yeah, I like to go and hide and just watch.
He's doing a Mario Kart thing. That should be fun, dude. Mario Kart double sense. Look at that. That should be really fun.
Oh, you can pay a bolt 12? Boss. But anyway, that should be fun. And then, so make sure to get your tickets for that.
Where is D++? Have they moved down?
That'll be...
They're not in Austin anymore.
Okay.
They do Bitcoin. Like I think Bitcoin them, right? is... how much is it in Bitcoin? Yeah, it's only $121. Boom. I think
California, maybe.
Get it. Tickets. Get your tickets. Fiat, I think it's the same price. Is it the same price? Yeah, same price, too.
What hotel? Is it the same hotel?
I think it's the same. Yeah, it's going to be at the same in the Georgia Tech Hotel.
Georgia Tech Hotel, that's new. Oh, no, you're at the Garden.
Yeah, but there's some pretty close by hotels, and then there's a lot of Airbnbs and stuff like that.
Don't stay in Airbnb.
But, oh, yeah, Keon's anti-Airbnb.
Yeah, do me a favor, don't.
What?
But,
you know why.
Don't stay in an Airbnb.
But stackers, get your tickets while you still can. The other thing is, that's pretty much it.
They destroy neighborhoods.
Keon, what do you do this weekend? Or did I ask you that already?
I think you already asked.
Flippo, what do you do this weekend?
Oh. I'm playing volleyball.
Oh, playing volleyball. Cool.
Snackers. What are you?
I'm just working. I have a lot of stuff to do. I got to get all this stuff ready.
Is that what that list is there?
Yep.
What does it even say?
Well, there's about four things on that list. About
five things.
We're just kidding. I got
to get some stuff. Oh, the to-do's there.
Yeah, because we finished product month for Startup School and we're starting revenue. I found those two books, so I need to read through some of that, and then I need to get that ready.
Does one of them say early days eat?
Early days edit.
Edit.
I ran into
but it feels like eating it because you're just like eating through the footage. The edit. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I ran into a guy out in the wild who
in the wild
selling some lemonade for and was accepting Bitcoin and
cool.
Found out he was gonna be given an early or
oh that's awesome
Startup School presentation this week, I think.
That's amazing.
So that was cool.
To see it.
Was it Jack?
No.
Sounds like something he would do. Cool. Sell lemonade.
You know who sells lemonade. Well, his kids sell the lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
Do I know who sells lemonade? Oh, yes, I do. Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Ha.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's everything. Oh, the other thing I should bring up is I didn't even bring this up. We have one more thing.
Do you think, this is a question I have for both of you, do you think the Amish would use eCash?
No.
Okay, that's fair.
You just heard that one talking to Theo Vaughn, right?
Yeah. It was good.
Do you think he would use eCash? Because that's where my opinion's coming from. It's just what I heard that guy say.
So I don't know. Because it's like they're not running the technology. They're just holding, you know, they can write it down on a piece of paper. They are trusting a technology institution. Maybe they do that.
So we also have Jimmy Song coming to Bitcoin Builders Club on the 15th. If you're around Texas area, or if you're not, fly in. It'd be worth it. Because he's going to be giving a fireside chat with me. We're going to talk about all builder stuff. It'll be fun.
Cool.
Bitcoin Builders Club on the 15th on Monday. I forgot to mention this.
Oh.
It's going to be fun.
On the 15th.
Johnny's going to be cooking some food.
Yeah, that was a good event. I went to the last one.
Yeah, it's going to be better this time. We're going to do it. We're going to do it
nice. Better.
Cool. That's all the stories I have. Keon.
Zap.